Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for that new life in Christ and what it means to be born of you. And we ask now your Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. We ask that you would minister the Word, really to nurture that new life in Christ. I pray for those, Lord, just getting saved. Lord, we lift up this wonderful supernatural truth that you form your life within us. And we ask for that life to be full and for that beginning of that work to nurture that life of Christ within, that word like milk would cause the new believers to grow in you. We thank you and we praise you and ask that you would fulfill your word for us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Philippians 4, as we wrap up the book of Philippians today. And yes, that means I'm getting through the whole chapter, or else. There's no other option. In a Bible study entitled Love from Above. Love from Above. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Now, I've been studying this, and we glance back. You know, you hit that therefore, and you need to understand the context. The context is our citizenship is in heaven. The context is there are many in this world whose God is their belly, living by the desires, living after the desires that really would seek to fulfill their lives. And in the context of Paul sharing this with the Philippians, he's in jail describing what it is to serve and worship the living God, what it is to carry his cross, what it is to lay down his life, what it is for him to follow Jesus Christ. And as he suffers for the gospel and writes the letter back to the church at Philippi because they've ministered to his needs. Now, you think of this letter that exists, that probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for this work of God to give, sacrificially for the work of ministry. In this case, Paul's going to identify with the Philippians their generosity. And I just remind you, God is truly the only liberal one. If you really understand liberal and how good God is and all that he gives, now many in this world will call themselves liberal only to capture you and to take advantage of you. It's called flattery. Now when God lays this forth in such a way, giving this letter to us, the church, and again, my exhortation has been for us to listen to the letter, and we come to this chapter today, and I'm consumed with this one thought, this love from above. Born from above, again, God sent forth his Son, came from above, and our citizenship is from above now that we're born again, and our bodies will be transformed. This is the context that therefore stirs me up unto this citizenship that is in heaven. And if those of this earth whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and they set their mind on earthly things, well, I'm here to do something for us today. If this love of God is from above, well, then let's set our minds and hearts on things above. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that our Lord said this. And so my first title was, you know, love him with all your mind. We come to a chapter today, and I remind you, God has not given us a spirit of fear. These are not the days to exercise your phobias. And I mean this most sincerely as I come to the text today. Now is not the time as a Christian to be given over to your fear. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. As Paul reminds Timothy, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. You could not come up with stronger words that Paul could write in a letter to describe how much he loves Jesus' church. Likewise, in this knitting of ourselves together in the love of God and having believed and received what it means to be genuine church, what it means for the life of Christ in you to be loved by the life of Christ in me, loving one another, and carrying this into oneness. This is the context. This love from above, it's the commandment, and I've believed upon it. Love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. And as we apply that, this love from above, I remind you in this context, therefore, my beloved, longed for brethren, my joy and my crown. He's already thinking, remember, I didn't want to run in vain. I didn't want to labor in vain. The church in Philippi, remember how they got birthed? Right. Paul is trying to go north into Asia. Paul is trying to go another route. Holy Spirit forbids him to go that way. Holy Spirit keeps saying no to him. You ever feel like that with God saying no to you over what you think you need to have right now and do right now? These are the things. And I'm going to put us back to the same place that Paul puts back the Philippians. Now is the time to be needy before God in prayer. Now is the time to seek God out in prayer. And especially if you are not content, not settled, if your mind is troubled, and if the love of the world is cringing in upon the love of the Father. And I remind us, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. Paul's saying, right, Holy Spirit brought me into Philippi by a vision that I saw a man from Macedonia who said, will you help us? And I offer this up in this way, that God is forming in us the same understanding such that when we come to church, we are to immediately look up, and anyone who comes in here, and as you're interacting with them, as you find anyone, that you can boldly tell them, God will help you. And then pray, and pray with and for, and share this gospel of Jesus Christ. This context for us, it begins with beloved, it ends with beloved, and this my joy and my crown, Paul's already thinking of the fruit of the reward of a life of righteousness, longing for heaven with his Lord and Savior, where the reward of all the labor and suffering and trials and difficulties, again, in heaven, that reward and that crown, and he's already knowing the joy that it will be that day when he is together with the church in heaven with Jesus. And there's an instruction in here. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Now, I did intend to read the whole thing, and I'm already into the first three verses. So, therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, for us, again, this phrase, two of them, two out of the first three verses, stand fast in the Lord. Now, this repeats. I looked it up. It's in all of Paul's letters. In some way, shape, or form, Paul, in all of his letters, now, again, to the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians, to Timothy, okay? You catch this, to the Romans, right? To the church in Rome, to the Philippians, to the Ephesians. It all has this aspect of steko, right? Right? The idea of that Greek word standing fast in the Lord. So there's two of these, and I remind you, right? Christ in you, this is the glorious mystery, right? You in Christ, abiding in the vine. I'm in the Lord. If you're born of him, you're born from above, you receive the love from above, and then stand fast in the Lord. It could have easily been entitled today, abide. Abide. This standing fast in the Lord, again, the idea is you can stand fast, right, without me. That's what Paul's writing to the church. Now, this is the lie Satan loves to give all of you. Right? He tells you that you're weak in the Lord, right? Because you're weak in the flesh. That's a lie. The fact that you are born from above makes you secure. In fact, the scriptures describe kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. And as I would embolden you and strengthen you to stand fast in the Lord, you can be the weakest in the flesh, but you can hold to one thing and say, I'm in the Lord. Jesus saved me. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. And this in the Lord instruction to stand fast in the Lord, because his mind's view is, I want to see every one of you before God in heaven with me. And I'm thinking joy and crown, and I'm thinking all of the saints in Philippi, Holy Spirit brought me over here, preached the gospel, the jailer got saved, the young slave girl who had the demon cast out of her. This is Philippi, supernatural power of God. Gospel goes forth, and he's thinking joy and crown in the Lord. He says, stand fast. I want to see all of you there. Now today, there's two of these, and it's in the Lord. So if you want to have an understanding of verses 1 through 3 and decide for yourself, it says, I'm in the Lord. I am found in Christ. Christ in me, right? And I'm found in him. You can't get any more oneness, right? This is a wonderful truth. The moment you are born of God, right? The moment you believe and receive the gospel, he puts his spirit in you, born from above, born of the Spirit. This love from above that enters in such a way that you, having believed, having received, can stand fast in the Lord. You don't need any special number of years to stand fast. Okay? Do you hear that? You do not need any special training to stand fast. You just need one thing. You need to believe Jesus Christ. So stand fast in the Lord. Now, this instruction to the two women here, who were not of the same mind, but now they're being implored, beseeched. And I like this. He says, I implore Euodia, and then I implore Syntyche. He doesn't, in this, you know, as he's beseeching them, this is the paraclesis, this is coming alongside, this is the ministry of God through the Holy Spirit to describe to these two whose names are written in the book of life. So whatever your disagreement is, whatever you're not in the same mind over, I remind you, you are in the same mind because you both are in the Lord. Okay? Now, this instruction, as we would carry this forth, be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, here's 2 Thessalonians 2:2. We're going to use it twice today. But I want to start into this because of this same mind, and we're going to emphasize today the mind of Christ. We're going to emphasize for us that what we need now, right, in the face of this world and what's coming, and what you're reading in the news, or which you might not even be aware of for yourself, just how much Satan is trying to take your mind away. And this is what we want to establish. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Over what? 2 Thessalonians 2:2, be not troubled over what? Well, the coming of the Lord. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The description to the Thessalonians, they were troubled because of a false letter that was written to the Thessalonians. So between 1 and 2 Thessalonians, someone steps in with something the Apostle Paul didn't write. Okay? Welcome to 2026. How are you going to know what's right and true anywhere anymore? In fact, you're going to find that truth is going to be masked as conspiracy when it's tucked away with all the other junk that gets produced. Now, I did a lot of research on this one for today, and just again, what I would call culture research terms, what's going on. And I offer up this in an appeal to you. Whatever was going on between Euodia and Syntyche, I believe they get it worked out. He describes here true companion, fellow workers, right? Again, the idea of we labored together in the gospel. This is not the time for the, well, this church doesn't do it like we do in any way, shape, or form. We are probably looking at last days with a view to, again, 11th hour harvest. Again, these are the parables. Now, again, darkness is right here. How soon would the Lord come? I'm saying as soon as he can. Whose names are in the book of life. That's where you want your name written. You don't need it written on your website, right? You don't need it written to promote your latest book. This is the faith. This is Two things in this: stand fast in the Lord. Again, if you like, there's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, I believe it's right around verse 13, 16 in 1 Corinthians. It's written to the men, quit yourselves like men in the King James. Right? It's time for the godly men to be godly men. Stand fast in the Lord. It's time for the godly women to be godly women and stand fast in the Lord. Because the wiles of Satan are not going to get easier. If Satan can get a false letter written between 1 and 2 Thessalonians to try to shake a new church, shaken in mind and being troubled, what about now after a couple thousand years of cleverly working a plan to fulfill a world ready for the Antichrist, that we would live in days that are inundated with the spirit of Antichrist methods to get you not to have the peace of God ruling in your heart? Now, the context and therefore instruction. So what do we do about that? Panic? No. Rejoice in the Lord. He's coming. Rejoice in the Lord. Even as you go through difficulties, trials, what's always the silver lining in every trial and difficulty? Rejoice in the Lord. I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. I count it joy when I fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith is going to work perseverance, right? Or let's say I just blended James and Romans 5 together. So you take Romans 5, 3 through 5, and you take James 1, and the idea of we can also glory in tribulations, that glorying in the tribulation, that's this Romans 5, is what's produced that experience, that character, and that hope. The church with character. The church with hope. Now we look at this instruction, and it's a command, it's imperative. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Again, it's a command again that this is the beginning of the answer. Are you troubled in your mind? Are you troubled over what is coming? So fear, worry, anxiety, okay? Mental health crisis, all this stuff you're told every time you turn on anything of this world, you're inundated with those words. I'm reading Philippians 3. I'm hearing citizenship in heaven. I'm hearing those who are in this world, the God is their belly. They set their mind, glory is their shame. They set their mind on earthly things. And I am calling us today to set our mind on things above. We'll get to that even more when we study Colossians 3. You should not be overtaken by fear, worry, and anxiety. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, that's a command. I can't change a command. I can't make it optional. Because then I got to change the grammar of the Bible. And so it begins with your rejoicing in the Lord. Take your joy again. The idea of there is a gladness for my life in my relationship with God, that this joy in my life is there because of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Why does he have to say it again? Why does the pastor have to keep saying the same things to me over and over again? Now, verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. King James says, let your moderation be known to all men. Now, the way I understand this is probably best stated when Paul's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3. And find your way there, and I'll give you some time to get there instead of me just rattling off Romans 5 and James 1 together and doing a mashup. First Timothy 3. Come on, T-books, there you are. First Timothy 3. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So a bishop is an overseer. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle. You understand, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The same word that shows up in 1 Timothy 3:3 is given in a context to a man who does not have rule over his own appetite. A man like that, you would never make an elder, a pastor, or a deacon. The instruction that Paul gives Timothy, he's not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle. So then, let your gentleness be known to all men. It's not some sort of, you know, effeminate man who is gentle and emotionally, his EQ is high. I wanted to gag when I went to a conference and I heard someone teach psychology to the pastors at a pastor's conference. Now, I only offer this to us because of my stance and what comes next. Okay, let your gentleness be known to all men. That means it is time for us to be in moderation. Neither high, neither low in relationship to what? Your appetites. Okay. Now, before long, you will not even know how quickly a desire can take you away. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, that phrase, the Lord is at hand, is the understanding. You know, when I say love from above, and is it far off? No, it's near. So when you say, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. That's revelation. That's the beginning of revelation. That's the end of revelation. Behold, I come quickly. And you say, well, this is written 2,000 years ago. Quickly, what's quickly? And so then you might erroneously then apply your own understanding to the word of God. So, well, if he didn't come back quickly, well, then he's delayed his coming. Or maybe he's not coming at all. This word written to the Philippians is for them to, again, in the context of the words of our Lord, servants, if they say that the master delays his coming, what do those servants do? Well, they mistreat the other servants. Carousing, drunkenness, beat fellow servants. Okay? So this gentleness be made known to all men, the Lord is at hand. How do you want to be conducting yourself if the Lord could come back today? How do you want to be serving? How do you want to be living? How do you want to be walking? How do you want to be found? And so this gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Now put this together, because the next command is be anxious for nothing, or take no thought for, or don't worry in these things. So it begins with verse 4, and if you have no joy in the Lord and you're not rejoicing in the Lord, you won't even get to verse 5 about the coming of the Lord. You won't even be interested in the next step of obedience. And furthermore, you will, by the time you get to verse 6, you'll say, that's too hard, I'm going to look elsewhere. Joy, right? Gentleness, prayer. Just take that to heart. Now, I'm devotionally going through the book of Genesis, and again, Holy Spirit started talking to me personally about the book of Genesis. I'm thinking, I want to teach Genesis in April when I get into Africa, so I want to do a study view of it. And nope, Holy Spirit talking to me over the words that gets spoken to others. And I hit words to Abraham, and then the Holy Spirit talks to me about them. But I got this one this week. Hagar, what ails you? Right? Seth, what ails you? Now, I didn't realize how much this Bible study for me today was current, necessary, good, and helpful. I just remind you, if you like, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You will be corrected. I will be corrected. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, as we enter into what I believe needs to happen, be anxious for nothing. Part of my research is, worry a sin? Anybody want to do a show of hands and take a vote in the room? What are you doing when you search the internet? What are you asking for? I'm asking for a vote. I'm asking which website, or better yet, which browser, which employs which AI. Now think about this. We're at a crisis level point for one thing, and it's the control of your mind. Satan, his target in the warfare is your mind. Anxiety is ruling in the realm of the spirit of Antichrist. The precursor is all in place. Get people troubled, get them in fear, panic, and you can take their toilet paper away and they'll... I can't believe it happened that way. The fear over a shortage of toilet paper. It had Peter running around town to all the stores to find toilet paper. No. We look back with humor, but it wasn't funny, was it? Now, when I lay this forth, and this is all from the heart today. And when I think about you, some of you I don't know yet. I mean, it's again, new faces today. But this part of the body of Christ and walking through this is the Word of God. And my other title for today, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. I'm trying to hand off to us an understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit that this is the Word of God. Jesus from heaven, he comes and he says, I'm the bread of life. It's in Jesus, okay? And if you will eat and partake of him, those words are spirit and they are life. And I take this, as Paul writes this, be anxious for nothing. This is Jesus' teaching, what we call Sermon on the Mount, where he says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. He says, the Gentiles, that's what they live for. That's what they run after. He says, but you are not to be that way, for your Father in heaven knows the things that you need, and as you live that out, will he take care of you? This is our answer. The source and cause of anxiety. What's the difference between an anxiety attack and a panic attack? And I look at all this stuff, and I'm like, I'm not the crazy one. Because isn't that, everybody's worried about that. Listen, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a command. Lay that down, make that in your heart, take your joy again. If you're not saved, joy means nothing. But if you're saved, okay, you've believed and received the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Christ is in you, and you're in him, and you're one with him, and you have all the promise and hope of heaven, then take your joy again today. Matters not what your circumstance is. Your circumstance is still going to be there. This is the truth. You take your joy again, and then this gentleness, this moderation. I cannot be given over to anything of an appetite that would take me away. Therefore, my gentleness is to be known, right? My moderation is to be known. The Lord is at hand. My command, therefore, is be anxious for nothing. So then you can kneel right there between you and God and live this out. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. It's not a mantra. Holy Spirit, years ago, when this church just getting started, this gal, always in trouble, worry, anxiety, fear, and Holy Spirit keeps like, Philippians 4:6. And after telling her that for about 2 months straight, she looks at me and says, I've done that. I do it every day. And it still doesn't work. And it dawned on me. This isn't aspirin. Take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning. See, this is love from above. Do you believe that God has you? Do you believe that nothing can take you out of the Father's hand? Nothing can take you out of the Son's hand? Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Anxiety, this Webster's Dictionary, comes out of a Latin word related to anger. Rooted in the same sort of thing. Concern or solitude respecting some event, future or uncertain, which disturbs the mind, keeps us in a state of painful uneasiness. It expresses more than uneasiness or disturbance, and even more than trouble or solicitude. It usually springs from fear or serious apprehension of evil and involves a suspense respecting an event and often a perplexity of mind to know how to shape our conduct. Be anxious for nothing, or take no thought for. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Don't miss that part. So here you're on to rejoicing in the Lord, moderation in full view of all, because the Lord is right at the door. It is time for us to follow the command to not be anxious. When Jesus comes, what's he going to do? Now, here's how I grew up. I think bad doctrine, right, will affect more than anything. I grew up with this idea, Jesus is coming back and he's mad. And I was in trouble. But I'm here to remind you, if you're in the Lord, you're in Christ, he's coming back. He's not mad at you. What is he going to do? When he comes for his church, he's going to say, come up here, and you're going to forever be with the Lord. Whatever wasn't quite right between you and him, what's he going to do? He'll make that right. See, the earnest that he is going to do that, the seal that that's true, is how he puts the Holy Spirit in each and every one of his children. Be anxious for nothing. But you don't know my circumstance. But you don't know what... See, you can be so afraid over what's going to happen that you'll never pray. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word their request, just attach it to this. God hears all of my petitions, and when I ask according to his will, he hears them, and I have received the petition that I asked for. Now remember, one of God's answers is yes. One of God's answers is no. And I think his favorite answer, at least in my life, is wait. But I don't want to wait. Now, the peace of God, verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I don't understand how that works. You're not supposed to. See, when you search for the understanding that man would offer up, who diagnoses what's wrong with you, and then who gives you the solution for what's wrong with you? This is the bottom line. Love from above, right? Wisdom from above. Where did the Word of God come from? Is it an origination of man? Or do you really believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, training, equipping, correcting, reproving, right, to thoroughly furnish or to equip? And I'm looking at this, back to the woman who I kept giving her these. I think she would go to the verse and read it, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I think it's as far as she got, and she went on her way to whatever else she was doing. And then whatever it was that was actually causing the anxiety was never addressed. How long do you do verse 6? Look, do you pray once? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now we're told in today's proverb to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Heart and mind, you can do your study now. That this idea of God being the God of all peace and love, and the idea of your heart is the center of your will, the understanding, the mind, the thoughts. Who can unravel this thing that we call the soul? Are you going to yield that up, that you want a theory, philosophy, source that came from this world or maybe below, and you're going to offer up that you want them to tell you about your, I shall love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's a command. This is not the time to confuse the word of God with the words of man. Okay? Now, I'm purposefully just putting these thoughts into you for one clear line of thought. If you're born from above, you should follow the word that came from above. And that's your choice. It will guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That means that God, through prayer, you give your petitions to Him. His answer to your prayers is what you need. Is it okay to give somebody the counsel? You need to pray and be desperate before God and wait for God to answer your prayer. I believe that is where this settles out. Now, once again, to 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Concerning what? Lord's not here yet. Is now the time to run around like the world runs around, seeking for our mental health, and like seeking the world's pharmakia, seeking the world's philosophies, seeking methods to feel? Or is now the time to rejoice in the Lord, set ourselves to a soon return, and listen to the commands that says what? I will not let anything else get me off of my love relationship with God. Because I've been commanded to love the Lord my God with all my mind. I've been commanded to love the Lord my God with all my heart. I've been commanded to love the Lord my God with my soul. Psuche, where we get the English word now, psychology, the study of the soul. And I just offer, again, you all hear me and you get to hear me over and over again, but I have new people in the room, and this is what I offer up to you. The psychologizing of the faith will bring about the very anxiety that you thought it would help you get rid of. You want to know the stats? Why is there a mental health crisis? Because about 125 years ago, we identified this new science in the study of the soul that would actually solve man's problems. And since then, it's only gotten worse. The stats tell the truth. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. I am letting you know, the Lord's coming back. Finally, brethren. Now, verse 8 is where it proves out. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Now, how many trees in the Garden of Eden, right? That's the question I had this week. Well, there's two notable trees, right? There's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, there was one commanded, don't eat from that tree. The other one was, eat freely from that tree. But you know what the real command was? Eat freely from all the trees in the garden except for one. Read this, Philippians 8. Whatsoever you have been given in your mind with instructions to think upon everything that is true. Now, those mysterious panic attacks. Interns have this in their intern booklet. Do you know what this really is? It's an uncontrolled thought life. If your thought life is controlled by a lust and it's like, and you're thinking upon something, it's all rooted many times back to the fear of what may happen. But we have been patterned and trained. How many of you just sit and scroll on your phone, whatever feed, whatever information, whatever dopamine you can have some exciting moment and I gotta have this and if I don't do this, just try putting that away for 6 weeks and see if you are addicted to it or not. Now, we all inherently know this to be true, that if we're not fixed upon, right, we're not fixed upon Christ, That means the world has its free flow into our lives. Whatsoever things are true. You're not limited. What Satan's lie to you? Come on, being a Christian's not going to be fun. All the real fun that happens in the world is in this category called... Satan doesn't call it sin, does he? Fun. Satan lies to you. Just like he lied to Eve. Eat the tree. You'll be like God. You're going to understand more. Experience it. Quite the opposite. Whatsoever things are true, that means now you have just been given in your mind license to think upon and dwell upon all truth that you find in the Scripture. Therefore, you can spend 365 days a year, right? Whatsoever you want to put your mind on, you found truth. Look at this truth. And I can dwell upon it. That's why I like a proverb a day. And if you go through it often enough, then I can carry that truth with me. And so I'm just dwelling upon this truth today. And this truth is, I need to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. I need to ponder the path of my feet. Which way am I walking? What have I just done? I've just taken whatsoever things are true, and then noble, again, honorable, if you think of the word. It's honorable for me to do what? It's honorable for the church too. And you can think upon all the things that are noble, whatever things are just or right. So, fruit of the Holy Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what Paul writes to the Ephesians. And I believe what you're looking at here in verse 8 is how you form the spiritual mind. What you think upon. You know, Satan did it with Eve. He's like, well, God doesn't let you eat from this one tree. He still repeats it today. Right? Why don't you look that up? Why don't you partake of that? Well, that sin is what's causing the trouble in our lives. Whatsoever things are pure. Now, that pure there is rooted in the word for holiness. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, New King James says, meditate on these things. All the other versions basically describes, think on these things. Now, I've met with people who don't want to listen to me. When I describe that the Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor, and we'll get together and we'll listen to you and we'll start praying together, and the Holy Spirit will give us the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit will give gifts of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give counsel, and the Holy Spirit will help you. And I start meeting with one lady in particular. Two meetings as far as we could get in. Not because the Holy Spirit wasn't the counselor, not because the Word of God wasn't the Word of God, but because she didn't want to. Now I look at verse 8. These are the things to think about. Now, I like that the New King James uses meditate, because that tells us what? It may take longer than a passing thought. Oh, I thought about that once. Unto my personal application of this, getting out of sin, my first turn to walk with the Lord, this was my verse to control my thought life. Now, you may not believe this. Some of you may, and all of you men will understand it. I was controlled by lust of the eyes. And turning to walk with the Lord and desiring to follow Him, but constantly, right, involved with thoughts that originated in an evil heart that were overtaking my every single moment of every day. Could have resulted in anxiety. If I'd gone to the medical doctor, he probably would have given me something to address that. But this is the verse that addresses it. And the only way I could stop some of the thoughts in my thought life was to think upon everything lovely, righteous, true, of good and noble report, right? Whatever is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praiseworthy, And the most difficult ones led me right to one place. I could not think of anything more praiseworthy than the cross of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how thinking upon the cross of Christ was able to stop most of my wicked and evil thoughts. Because I looked at Genesis 6 this morning, and it said in there that there was a time previously in history where it was in man's imagination of the thoughts of his heart to do evil only evil continually. How close are we to repeating that? Our Lord said, days of Noah, days of Lot, days of the Son of Man. Verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Jesus, our Lord, says to us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Is there a greater offer to anyone who's in trouble, worried, heart burdened, wearisome? What's our Lord's charge? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Right? He describes gentle and lowly in heart. That's him. And you shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. So here you take Philippians 4:9, partner it together in a Holy Spirit comparison with Matthew 11:29. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. Now, for those of you who have already partaken of the things of the world in the learning methods, I'm a visual learner, I'm a tactical learner, I'm a audio learner. Stop it. Don't fall for this. How do you learn? I learn by following the commands of Christ. How do you learn? Whether you're visual, audio, or tactical, what is tactical anyway? Well, it's right here. Like somehow they came up with this idea. No, look at the scriptures. The things which you have learned and received. What have you received? Well, I've received the Word of God. I've learned and I've received. This is experiential knowledge. What have I learned? I have taken the yoke upon me and I have learned His commandments are not burdensome, but His commandments are better than how I could run my life. In fact, when I got free from all that sin and lust, guess what? Man, I was a lot less troubled as I would walk into daily life. Ephesians 4:20, but you have not so learned Christ. The charge to no longer live like the unbelievers, but to live like a Christian. What did you learn? Paul tells Timothy, continue thou in the things which you have learned, been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now there's a key in verse 9. These things which you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these do. This is not the word for I've done it. Do you hear that? This is the word to describe this is my practice. Because isn't this really what this is about? This is not a I prayed once and everything's done. This is not a I took the thoughts captive. This is these do. This is the Greek word prasso, root word, to practice, perform repeatedly or habitually. Now, growing up, anything repeated habitually and repeatedly for me was sinful. That's how I lived. But this is the instruction. Paul is now telling them, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, heard and saw, audio learning, visual learning, received tactical learning. Again, put all that wisdom of the world aside. Paul is saying, if you follow Jesus Christ in the things that I've instructed you, everything you've heard me teach you about Jesus Christ, everything you saw me live out, do those. This is, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Why would anxiety be ruling in your heart today? Well, I know why. Same reason it would be ruling in my heart. Because I wasn't rejoicing, moderation, prayer, and then my thought life. I had to change what I think about, and I had to think upon those things. Do you think being in a prison with the scope of dying is today the day? Did Paul wake up every morning wondering if today's the day they come and kill him? That could create a huge amount of anxiety. But I you know how I think he woke up every day? Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Maybe he sang or worshiped first thing. Maybe he took his joy again to praise and serve and love the living God. I don't know, we don't know what he did, but I know he had a habit because he says to them, these things do. Make this your practice. Now, verses 10 through 13, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now your care for me has flourished again, though you did surely care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. So here he describes the things I've learned, and now he teaches them how he lives. And he describes, your care you sent to me. They brought a gift by Epaphroditus. Prior to that, I take the understanding that he was suffering great need in prison. It was not three meals and TV like it is now. So his needs not being met in prison, and now he comes through. Now that they cared for him, he says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. And he is revealing, he learned how to pray and ask for daily bread, and whatever came his way was God's giving to him. I've learned to be content. Same word there for learned, as it is in Matthew 11, Ephesians 4, 2 Timothy 3, as it is in verse 9. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned to be full and to be hungry. That word there for learn is a different Greek word. And this Greek word is rooted in the mystery of Christ. So here he's describing the sufferings of Christ to be full and hungry. And he's describing that I did not know this fellowship and the sufferings of Christ. I didn't know how to be abased. I didn't know how to be abound. And everywhere in all things, what's he describing? An absolute trust that God is in control of every one of his circumstances, whether food came to him that day or not, whether anything he asked for came on the same day. I love it when God does same day service and prayer. But many times we want God to answer it yesterday. And this is why anxiety rules, because prayer is not held in the place it is to be held, that I will pray and wait and trust for God. Paul's describing this learning. King James says, I've been instructed. And it's the word in the mystery of Christ. I am instructed whether I'm full or hungry, whether I abound or suffer need. And this is the real verse that's always taken out of context. It makes its way to your fridge. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Such a tough day at work. I put it on my computer. Oh, this is a stressful day. And that's how we apply it. But what Paul is doing is he's taking something far deeper to describe into the mystery of the sufferings of Christ, and the word do all things is the word that's rooted together into the empowering and strengthening of God, the dunamo, to empower, to enable, to strengthen, to be made strong. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How could you get through that? How could you say no to fear, worry, anxiety, panic, because Christ strengthens me? I have learned it is better to suffer need than to turn these stones into bread. Now, that type of mystery, that when Satan comes by to tempt you, that you can recognize the temptation and you can answer with the word of God. I pray that today blesses you. And 4:13 says, I can do all things, that Jesus has empowered me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. The word there, shared, in verse 14 is rooted in the koinonia. If Paul's in distress, well, then I'm in distress. If the church in Venezuela is in distress, does that even distress you? If the churches in Mexico we support, if they're in distress, does that affect you? The believers in Syria, if they're in distress? And see, this is, we've got a different scope because of the world, but what troubles you? Well, I don't know how I feel today. And I'm not mocking. I am saying we have gotten so far off of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And just trying to restore that. Paul says, you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that also from the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. This is why this letter to the Philippians in this context, why I can talk this way, why I can listen this way, and why I can share this. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift. Okay, you hear that? It says, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. How many other times the God will supply all your needs is taken out of context. This church sacrificially gave and laid their lives down. And now he can say to them, my God shall supply all your need. My God supplied all my need. God will supply all your need. This is why I am teaching all of us, when you come into church and you gather together, your first thing is to look up. God will help you. You've come to a place where we believe that it's not mankind who shall help you, but it is God who shall help you. You come to me, and when I pray with you, I'm giving you everything I have. I am not the helper. Not a one of you in here is the helper. God the Holy Spirit is. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. I love verse 21. The brethren who are with me greet you. You know, the way that we normally say goodbye is completely pagan. It really is. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's all named after the idols of this world. This has always been this way. We're in this world, but not of it. We're not to partake of the things of the world. Well, we greet one another in Christ Jesus. Greet the saints. The brethren are with me, greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Can you believe it? Right up into the ruler of the world, into his household, the gospel reached, and they were saved. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now let me be heart to heart with you. I am not unaware of, right, the fact that many have already gone to the doctor and have been diagnosed with and therefore are taking medications. Do not listen to me today and say, I'm going to throw all those medications away. Okay. Those medications change the chemical makeup of your brain. You cannot just get off of them unless it would be a miraculous healing. And if you're praying for a miraculous healing, God will do the miraculous healing and you're not going to be wondering if he did it. Just like when, if you have a bad knee and you pray for a healing and it's still hurting, your knee wasn't healed. But if you healed your knee, it was healed. Now, during the rebellion of the hippie days, in which revival broke out amongst the hippies, and many were given over to drugs, and it was acid, it was psychedelic, it was that, the same types of things that changed the chemical makeup. And when you would come off of those, the withdrawals would be deadly for some. And my friend who was there, he says, we were watching what God did, the work God was doing. We would pray for those coming off of drugs, and they were being supernatural. As they were being saved, God was healing them, and they didn't even need to go into the doctor. That's the miraculous part. Now, if it's not miraculous, what do you need to do? You need to go back to your doctor and say, I want a plan to get off of this, right? And I'll walk with you through that. My wife and I will walk with you. We'll get you to what this means to have the peace of God ruling in your heart, what it means to have the God of all peace comfort you within, that anxiety no longer rules within, but God rules within. Now that's, I have much more to say. Some of you don't even know me, and you're like, I'll never come in here ever again. And others are like, interesting, I want to, what is this? And I'm taking this letter, I'm saying God has not changed. Man always is coming up with something. But I believe in the power of God. So Heavenly Father, I pray you can take these words and thoughts that, again, from my heart, which you put in there concerning the peace of God, and bless your people to be found in you, rejoicing, praying, trusting, and may you now pour your Holy Spirit out in all manner of wisdom and understanding that you, Christ Jesus, our Lord, and that you will come to your people and that you heal and you help and you will give peace to your people. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.